So today we are starting a new chapter, chapter number 14. So we just finished the 13th chapter called Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga Yogaha. Kshetra means the field and Kshetrajna means the knower of the field. And so Krishna says the field consists of 24 plus 31. Mahabhutanya Ahankaraha Buddhir Avyaktamevacha Indriyani Dashai Kancha Pancha Chendriya Gocharaha. So he says, what is the field? The five Mahabhutas, air, space, fire, water, earth, Ahamkar, the ego, the mind, the intellect, then the five sense organs, the five organs of action, and the sense objects, things that we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Together they make 24 plus. When we experience objects in the world, there is Iccha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukham, Sanghatash, Chetana, Dhritihi, Etat Kshetram, Samasena, Savikara, Mudahritam. Shri Krishna says that as you experience the world with your sense organs, you develop likes and dislikes, desire and hatred. So all those emotions are the modifications of this Kshetra. So 24 constituents of this world and the seven modifications. So essentially everything that we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, experience, think, everything is Kshetra. So the vasanas, my desires, my body, my mind, my intellect, the ego, the perceiver, feeler and thinker, and the world of objects, emotions and thoughts, everything is Kshetra, the field. And who is the knower of the field? Sri Krishna says, Kshetrajnam chapi mam viddhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. He says, I as the consciousness sit in your heart and I am the experiencer of all the fields, not only the field of an individual, but what the plant is experiencing, what the animal is, the fish, every experience is experienced by me as the consciousness. And then Arjuna had also asked, what is Purusha and Prakriti? So Krishna says, Prakriti is the matter, the substance of this whole universe, and the matter, not only the gross matter we can see, but even the mind and intellect are made of subtle matter. The objects, emotions, everything is matter, is Prakriti. Purusha, again, is the consciousness, the Lord within. And so the whole universe, he says, is made up of the combination of Purusha and Prakriti, matter and spirit. When they combine, they come together, the beautiful universe we see. Like any good teacher, Krishna knows what is in Arjuna's mind. Some of the chapters start with Arjuna's question. Like in the 13th chapter, he says, tell me what is Purusha, Prakriti, Kshetra, Kshetrajna. But here there is no question. Why? Because Krishna knows, just as a mother. Now the child is running around and playing and having a great time. Mother says, come inside. No, mom, I'm playing, I'm having fun. She says, no, come in for 5 minutes. She calls him in and makes him sit down. She says, have some milk and cookies. And he starts eating and he says, how did you know I'm so hungry? You know, he was so busy playing, but the mother knows that it's now the child is hungry. So he needs the milk and cookies. And then she says, oh, now you can go out and run around and play. So similarly, happens every day. Yes. But the mother knows when the child is sleepy, when the child is hungry, whatever. So similarly, a good teacher can anticipate the question in a student's mind. So Arjuna immediately has this question in the mind, which he does not express, but Krishna knows. And that question is, why the variety? Why is such a beautiful variety in this world? Even though we are all made of matter, and all made of consciousness, Purusha and Prakriti. So the consciousness is the same in every one of us. It is one consciousness. You may call it Allah, you may call it Father in Heaven, Krishna, Buddha, Jesus, Brahman, whatever you want to call, but there is one consciousness that is same in all. It's not that her God is different from his God or my God. There is only one God, one consciousness illumining everything. And the world of matter is also the same. We are all made of five elements, air, space, fire, water, earth. I am made of that, she is made of that, a dog, a cat, a tree. Swami Chinmayananda says that suppose you have a dead human and a dead dog and you dehydrate them, you know, you don't bury them, leave them for a while as an experiment. Like when we do mummies, you know, dissecting in the anatomy class, we just leave the body there. Now, if you let the body dehydrate, once the water goes out, what do you find? Calcium, phosphorus, carbon, magnesium, zinc. That is the same. The dog's body is made of the same. Calcium, phosphorus, there is no difference in the body. And there is no difference in the consciousness. Purush and Prakriti are the same. But then why this endless variety? Why do we see this beautiful variety? Every plant is different. Every flower is different. The fish swimming in the ocean, if you go to the Great Barrier Reef, a few years ago we had gone to Australia, and if you're snorkeling downstairs, that was the most beautiful. Every color on earth, you can find the fish, and thousands of fish, and on multiple colors. Some fish have two colors, three colors, purple, green, I mean, any color you want. Such a beautiful variety. That's where you see the, you know, this beautiful artist. That is, he's just quietly painting. You go and see a peacock. Go to Hart Park, how beautifully every feather, it's like he's lovingly painted the whole thing. So this beauty in humans, even though we are all similar, but there is so much difference. You know, the fingerprints don't match, the face doesn't match, the thoughts don't match, the emotions, the ideas, the desires. Why so much variety? If we are all made of Purush and Prakriti, we should all be like robots, you know, all identical, walking, you know, marching like. No, it's not. Everybody is so unique in their own way. So Krishna says it is because of the gunas. Gunas are the manifestation of Prakriti, and they are the attitudes, they are the adjustments of our thoughts that determine our personality. What distinguishes me from him, from her, is our gunas. Also, the gunas are the expressions of Prakriti, and they constitute our desires, our emotions, and our thoughts. And all of us, whether it's a saint or whether it is a criminal, whether it's a murderer or whether it is a king or a beggar, all of us have these three gunas. Sattva, called knowledge or purity. Rajas, called passion or activity. And tamas is ignorance, darkness, laziness. Now, we all of us have it. Everybody, even the soldier has it, even the person sleeping has it, even the person in coma has it. But why the difference? What distinguishes a saint from a sinner? It is the proportions. Who has more sattva? Who has more rajas? Who has more tamas? Swami Chinmayananda gives a beautiful example. He says, like, you have coffee. Now, coffee from north to south, everywhere in India, it is drunk. But when you go to South India, the coffee is strong, it's black. Coffee is made of three ingredients, like the coffee powder, the milk, and the sugar. So in the south, it's all powder, coffee, very little milk and sugar. They just show it from far away. You know, you go to Punjab, milk, it's all milk, thick, you know, the full, not even low fat, the thick milk with the malai. And there they will put a trace of coffee and a good amount of sugar. You go to Gujarat, it is only sugar. There's no coffee, no milk. It's pure sugar. Trace of coffee, trace of. So the point is that the same coffee in different parts of India, it tastes different because of the different proportion of the ingredients. So similarly, like in a saint, he or she will have predominant sattva, very sattvic all the time in purity. Some rajas, passion to work, and then of course tamas because he needs to sleep at night. So when a saint is sleeping, he also is under the influence of tamas. You need tamas to sleep. An active person, a businessman or somebody will have a lot of rajas. I have to accomplish, I have to succeed, I have to crush every other business. He may not have much sattva. He may have little bit. Why? Because he's crooked. You know, he wants to cheat the world. And then he has large dose of tamas, of ignorance, because he doesn't know what is right, so he cheats the world. Then, of course, there may be a drug addict or some lazy person, you know, who is just depending on the world to take care of him, just sleeping and doing nothing all day. It could even be a person who is very rich, but has so much money that he doesn't need to work. He said, aram karo yaar, just lie down on the beach and relax. So whole day he's sleeping on the beach, plays golf for a little while, and, you know, gets up and has a drink or goes back. You know, so he may be very rich, but if his life is just sleeping, not accomplishing much, then he has predominant of tamas. He has to have some rajas because he has to at least get up and eat. If nothing else, at least he has to eat. So he says, sharir yatra pichate na prasyet karmana. He says, without doing karmas, even your body cannot function. So he still gets up, but he has very little of. So these different proportions determine the different personalities. Like you have automobiles, right? There are a line of automobiles on the street. They are passing and you are standing. And the gasoline in all the automobiles is the same, right? It's not that they have one kind. I mean, you have unleaded and you have Supreme and all that. But okay, one kind of gasoline they all have. The body is made of the same structure. You know, they are all made of steel and iron, and then the seats are made of leather or, you know, whatever. But there is an old Volkswagen or an old Ford, you know, chuck, 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 chuck. It is going 30 miles an hour. Even the guy is pushing. And then there comes a Ferrari, 220 miles an hour. The gasoline is the same. The body structure is the same of the two cars. But what distinguishes the Ferrari from the Ford is the engine. It is the engine within that determines the quality of the performance of the car. One engine has a lot of power, can take the gasoline and efficiently convert it into movement. Another one is old rickety engine, 1970. It needs a lot of effort. So similarly, it is the proportion of sattva, rajas and tamas within us that determines the quality of our actions. Like Gurudev gives another example. Electricity is the same in all the bulbs. The electricity is the same. The glass is the same. You know, the bulb, all have the same glass. But then why is the difference in the power? One is a 2-watt, you know, night light. Another is a 1,000-watt stadium light, which illumines the entire, you know, stadium. The difference is not in the electricity. It's not that the electricity is favoring that 1,000-watt bulb and not favoring the 2-watt bulb. Electricity says, I am the same. And there is one electricity all over the world, whether you go to in India or whether you go to Africa or the US, all electricity is made up of electrons, protons, neutrons. It's the same electricity. The glass is the same. What distinguishes one bulb from the other is the filament, the resistance in the filament. The 2-watt bulb has a very high resistance filament, so the same electricity cannot create too much light, while in the 1,000-watt, there is no resistance, the electricity. So similarly, within us, there is that one electricity called consciousness or life or God's presence. And in the saint, they are like the 1,000-watt bulb where there is no resistance. Whatever the, this week we saw Vimalji last 2-3 days, you can see the, you know, it's like he has zero resistance. It is unbelievable, the personality. I think those of us who met him and listened to him, it is like he has zero ego of his own. He has no ego, he has no resistance. The Lord is just flowing out because they have very minimal amount of resistance. They have very minimal amount of vasanas, these Mahapurushas, these saints. And so the consciousness just flows out. When they speak, when you hear him speak, or especially if you hear him answer a question, it is amazing. I have watched him. If you ask him a question, he won't answer it right away. He'll pause, just close his eyes for a second and channel. It's like he's channeling that energy. the divine. And then the answer that comes out is so masterful, it is amazing. So, but most of us, we have too much resistance. We are like that 2-watt bulb. The filament has so much resistance. We have so many impurities of the mind, so much anger and greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness, possessiveness, acquiring, hoarding, you know, cheating and all that. So we make our mind impure. We make our mind dirty, full of dirt. And then within that dirt, the consciousness gets covered. Just as there is a car, you know, headlights, but you put a thick blanket over it. And the headlight may be on full, but if the blanket is thick enough, not even a ray of light will come through. But as you remove the layers of the blanket one by one, there are multiple blankets, slowly, slowly, you can see the light. So in spirituality, we are reducing this dirt that's covering the self within. We are all of us, our true nature is Om. As we have said here, Om is my true nature. We are all of the nature of consciousness. We are all of the nature of bliss. But the reason we suffer is because of our negativities. And as you slowly, slowly reduce your vasanas through service, you know, with the body, you serve the world. With the mind, you love God and you love everyone, like the saints do. And with the intellect, you get the right knowledge through reading the Bhagavad Gita, through meeting with the Mahatmas who come here. So as you get the right knowledge, as your mind becomes purer, more loving, and as your actions become unselfish, as you serve the world, slowly you reduce the vasana. So the best way to purify the mind, A, is service. Second is love. Love God and love everyone. And the third is get the right knowledge. Read the Gita, read the Upanishads, talk to these great teachers who come. And as you purify your mind, and that is the number one thing, you have to purify, purify, purify. You know, like in real estate, they say location, location, location. So in spirituality, it is purify, purify, purify. Because unless your mind is pure, no matter how many lectures you listen to, no matter how many times you go to the temple, no matter what actions you perform, if your vasanas are not reduced, if your negativity, anger and selfishness is not reduced, it will benefit. I'm not saying that reading the scriptures, going to the temple and doing unselfish actions is good. But all of them will be more beneficial if you do it with the idea that I am a servant of the Lord, I'm working as a servant, whatever actions are happening, He is working through me. And as you slowly reduce your ego, closer you come to the truth. So that is the way to reduce tamas and rajas and be in sattva, be in purity. And then slowly the wise people even go beyond sattva to that eternal state. In that state, there is no rajas, tamas or sattva. That is beyond, and that mahatmas go beyond that. You and I, we can stay at this level. Okay, I'm in tamas. So that is what we do. So this knowledge is not meant to diagnose others. You don't go and say, no, my husband, I think he has too much rajas. He should come to the Gita class. No, not like that. It is how much rajas do I have and how much tamas do I have. It is a subjective diagnosis. All these scriptures are not meant to point to others. Of course, if you can encourage somebody to study spirituality, that's very good. But not with the idea that I have to somehow change this person. This Swami Chinmayananda always used to say, and Mahatma Gandhi always says, he says, you change and the world will change around you. The world will change with you. So we have to constantly be tuned with sattva. The example they give is there's a radio. And in the olden days, of course, nowadays they have all electronic. But in the olden days, you had these knobs which you had to turn. So there are, suppose, 3 knobs on the radio. And then you, with the first knob, you slowly tune to the station, and then some of the stations are weak, so you pay attention, and then you get exactly tuned. And then you adjust the volume the way you want, and the third one is for the pitch, you know, for the pitch. So similarly, in our body, there are these three knobs called sattva and rajas and tamas. And I have to constantly keep them tuned to, so that they connect with the radio station of the Lord. I have to connect myself to that radio station so I can play that divine music. And that's why when you listen to these saints, they can emanate that divinity. It just flows from them because they are tuned with that radio station. You and I are not, and that's why we have all these problems. So subjectively, I have to diagnose myself. Am I in sattva? Am I in rajas? Or am I in tamas? And what happens is like when you wake up in the morning and say you remember the Lord, you know, do some puja or some meditation or just chant his name, then your mind is very sattvic. And then you say, okay, now it's time to go to work. So I take a shower, you know, again do my prayers and then go out into the world and I'm in rajas. And then at the end of the day, I'm tired. I have to sleep. So I need sattva. I need tamas to fall asleep. But the human personality is dependent on which one is predominant. Are you predominantly a sattvic person, predominantly a rajasic person, or predominantly a tamasic person? So this is something I have to analyze myself. I have, I think, too much rajas. I need to do less. I don't need to, you know, be spending so much time in surfing the net or just uselessly doing activities or just talking on the phone. I need to sit some time by myself and just contemplate and just, you know, be with the Lord, be with the silence. So as you practice, and then, you know, I sleep too much. Sleep is good, but, you know, if I have to get up in the morning to meditate, then I have to get up. So I put the alarm and I get up and I develop some discipline in my life that certain amount of time I must. So slowly, slowly I reduce my tamas. I even reduce my rajas. If there is unnecessary work, eliminate it. If there are unnecessary parties, don't need to go. If it's something important, somebody's birthday or anniversary or, you know, wedding or some, you know, some death or something, you know, you go there. But uselessly, when somebody is just called, come over and have a drink and all, just tell him, no, sorry, you know, I'm busy. So reduce your rajas, reduce your tamas, and increase the sattva. Slowly, slowly, through knowledge, through purification of the mind. And what happens is that once your mind is tuned to that, especially in meditation, when you have experienced that silence within, then when your mind gets out of that sattvic mode, you know it right away. My mind is disturbed. My mind is lazy. So a person, it's like Gurudev in his commentary says, like a car mechanic, he knows the engine is, you know, running well. But if he can hear some sound, you and I may not be able to, but he'll say, no, something is not okay with the engine. He'll stop the car, adjust, you know, and the car is running good. So similarly, a wise person constantly knows what is the functioning of the motor of my mind, the internal motor. And so through practice, through meditation, through right understanding, it does not mean that I should not work. You know, rajas does not mean you work. But while you are working, you are still under the influence of sattva. Like Swami Chinmayananda, he used to sleep only 3 hours at night. He worked 20, 21 hours a day. But even when he was working, his mind was always with Narayana, even no matter how busy he was. So these Mahatmas can do that. So you and I can also practice that. Keep your mind stationed on the Lord. And then Sri Krishna says all the time in the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna, Mam Anusmarana Yudhyasvacha. He says, remember me, and then you do whatever active, whether you are in the battlefield, or whether you are cooking in the kitchen, or whether you are working in the office, constantly remember me, and then engage in the battle of life. So this is the beauty of this 14th chapter, which tells us about these three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. What is the meaning of sattva? What is the meaning of rajas? What is the meaning of tamas? What does a person do under the influence of sattva, rajas, and tamas? How one can slowly evolve our thinking towards the higher, and then ultimately, what is the state of a realized master who has gone beyond the three gunas, Trigunatit, it is called, and that is all beautifully covered. So the 14th chapter is one of the most practical chapters where you can apply that. It does not talk about God and Brahman and consciousness and none of that. It says how I should live my life, beautifully tells you. So over the next few months, we shall cover that, 2 verses every day. So, but I thought this little introduction will tell us what we have in store for us. If there's any questions or comments, anything about the gunas, anybody wants to? No, there's nothing wrong, as long as you're not judging.
Okay.
As long as you're not judging, you observe, yes. Like right now, you know, hopefully we are in that sattvic mood because we have heard about the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, you can observe people. But more important is to observe oneself. And constantly, Swami Ishwarananda once told me that the most greatest spiritual practice is to observe your mind. Become a witness and say, what is my mind doing right now? And keep watching your mind. Even when I'm like when you're walking on the treadmill, watch the body and then watch the mind. What is my mind doing? And what is my... So become an observer. And be aware of the mind. And slowly, slowly you develop the habit of watching the mind. And they say a watched mind is a quiet mind. So as you observe the mind, it becomes quiet. Yeah, it's okay to be an observer, but it's better to observe yourself rather than others. Yeah. Yeah. If somebody is very angry or very agitated or very hyper, actually people who are spiritually evolved, they can tell the state of your mind. You know, they say, oh... Especially women are more in tune with, and they say, oh, this person, doesn't have good vibes. You know, women are more, we are dense. You know, honestly, I'll tell you that. But women are more in touch with the total consciousness because they are more tuned with that. So they can tell the state of a person's mind. Yeah. But it should not let you disturb. See, if you are peaceful and somebody comes angry, and start shouting, if you respond by shouting, then you are part of that. You just calmly handle that, and you can even calm the other person. So if you are in sattva, and somebody else is agitated or upset, you can calm him. So yes. But yeah, that's a good question. That's a good point.
But then I am sattva.
No, they may think I'm right. No, they may think I'm right. Yeah, no, that's different. See, being right is different from being sattvic. You may be in rajas, like you may be working and you may be doing the right thing. So rajas is not necessarily bad. You need rajas to work in the world. But what we mean by sattva is peace, being in peace, purity, knowledge. Rajas is passion, activity. So to work in the world, you need rajas. But, and then to sleep, you need tamas. But what is the predominant proportion, right? So when you're saying he's right, he may be very active, but and he may be doing the right thing. He may be in rajas. So it does not mean that sattva is right or wrong. None of them is right or wrong. It is the proportion that you need. Yes. But yeah, that's true. Everybody thinks they are right. Yeah, that is universal.
So when we are in a situation, but if somebody reacts the same way to you, you tell them, you know, go and learn that lesson also.
Yeah. That's why we say subjective diagnosis and adjustment. This spirituality is to diagnose myself and to adjust my own personality, my own knobs, my own engine. It's not to adjust somebody else. You can point it, I mean, you can give them the book or give them the information or tell them there are classes or whatever, but you can't change anybody. You can only change yourself. You cannot adjust other person's knobs. Even your own children, you have brought them up and done everything. You can't change them. You can't do anything. You can just provide them the right environment to grow, but then they grow according to their own vasanas, according to sattva, rajas, and tamas, whatever they have. So all you can do is just be a help them,
channelize
to them. Right? Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchid Dukkha Bhavet. ओम शांति 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 ही हरि ही ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ही ओम थैंक यू वेरी मच.